Well, all of us hunger and thirst for something. I think what comes to mind for most of us, as we're hungering and thirsting, is hungering for food, like a hearty meal or a sweet dessert, or thirsting for a beverage, like a cool drink or a cup of coffee. But there are other ways that we hunger and thirst. We may hunger and thirst for career success, for a child, for a dream vacation away. We may hunger and thirst for more money, to be loved, or to have a purpose. But as we continue our Beatitude series this morning, Jesus tells us that only one type of hungering and thirsting is blessed by God. By hungering and thirsting for only one thing will we ever have our hungering and thirsting truly filled or truly satisfied. Which means that everything else that we chase after in this life will ultimately leave us empty. So to see which we should be hungering and thirsting for, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And if you didn't happen to bring your Bible with you this morning, we encourage you to grab your Bible and to follow along with us. It's just one verse, but I think it's always helpful if we're reading God's Word together rather than having someone read to us. And so if you've never been in Matthew before, I'll give you, if you happen to have the small print version, we'll be on page 809. And once again, I forgot to look up the page number for the large print version. So if you have that, feel free to shout it out. Otherwise, feel free to help your neighbor if you see them struggling to find Matthew chapter 5. And I'll give us a little bit of time to turn to 5:6, and then I'll read it for us this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Or depending on your version, it may say, "For they shall be filled." The word of the Lord. Well, in order to fully understand this passage, there are a few phrases that we need to define. First, what does it mean to truly hunger and thirst after something? At a basic level, it means that we desire something, that we are aware that we have a need. But what Jesus is talking about goes a little bit deeper than that. He's not just talking about the times that you're watching TV late at night and you say, you know what, I think it'd be good if I could have a snack. And so I'm hungry, I'm going to go grab a snack from the pantry. And it's not just the times that you walk by a drinking fountain and say, you know what, maybe I should get a quick drink before I go into the sanctuary or I go into the auditorium or go into a classroom. There's a difference between being hungry and suffering from hunger. There's a difference between needing a drink and being thirsty. Pastor Martin Lloyd-Jones puts it this way. He says, "Hunger is something deep and profound that goes on until it is satisfied. It hurts. It is painful. It is something that goes on increasing and makes one feel desperate. It is something that causes suffering and agony. To hunger and thirst really means to be desperate, to be starving, to feel life is ebbing out, to realize my urgent need of help." So what Jesus is talking about here in hungering and thirsting for righteousness is not just saying, you know what, that would be good. That would be something good to pursue. He's saying, no, the people who are blessed are the people who realize, I desperately need more righteousness. Without it, my life is over. Believing that without it, we won't survive, that we can't be whole. So having defined this phrase, now let's define what it means to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And to do that, let's compare hungering and thirsting for righteousness to two other types of hungering and thirsting that were both present back when Jesus was giving the sermon and in our society today. First, what does it mean to hunger and thirst for happiness? The whole world, it seems, is hungering after happiness, is it not? Everyone is chasing after someone or something that they believe will give them the happiness that they desire. As we covered in the introduction, this can come in many ways. Some people are seeking happiness in their accomplishments. That may be at work, in school, in the home, or even here at church. Some people are seeking happiness in a relationship. That could be through marriage, through dating, through friendships, through families, through other church members. Some people are seeking happiness in accumulation of stuff, whether they be houses or cars, clothes, money, collections, or books. Whatever that is, all of us are hungering and thirsting for happiness. There's usually at least one thing that we would say, if I only had more of that, I would be more happy. If I only had this one thing or a little bit more of this thing, I would be content. I would be satisfied. Jen and I, before we left for our vacation, found ourselves doing that. That if we could only go on vacation, we could be happy. We could be content. We could get some of the rest that we've been desiring. There are several things that we often say, I need this in order to be happy. I need this in order to be content. What we also have to come to realize is that though we often give ourselves to the pursuit of happiness, we often never seem to be able to find it. And the reason is found in this verse. Notice Jesus does not say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for happiness. And that's not found anywhere else in Scripture either. Happiness is never something to be sought directly. It's always the result of seeking something else. Martin Lloyd-Jones writes this. He says, men and women are trying to find happiness. They are making it their goal, their one objective. But they do not find it because whenever you put happiness before righteousness, you will be doomed to misery. I love that line. Whenever you put happiness before righteousness, you will be doomed to misery. They alone are truly happy who are seeking to be righteous. Put happiness in the place of righteousness, and you will never get it. And the same can be said for the second thing on our list. For religious activity. Many of us hunger and thirst for religion. We say things like, I can't wait to go to church on Sunday morning. I can't wait to be with my small group. I can't wait to read my Bible and pray. I can't wait to go on a mission trip. But if we're being honest with ourselves, there are many times when we say those exact phrases when what we really mean is, I can't wait for church to make me feel good about myself. I can't wait to be a part of a group that'll help encourage me and affirm who I am. I can't wait to go serve on a mission trip so I can return home and feel good about the time that I invested. That what we really love about some of those things is that how they make us feel about ourselves. We love that we feel a sense of achievement, that we've obeyed the Bible. We love that we feel cared for and accepted by others. And what we need to realize is that God has given us those things. He's given us worship. He's given us community with others. He's given us opportunities to serve Him. He's given us His word and His prayer to know Him more. When we seek happiness in the religious activity, or when we seek how a religious activity makes us feel about ourselves, we're never going to have our hunger and thirst satisfied. It would be like seeing a commercial for a refreshing drink, say like a Sprite or a Coke. And then it creates this thirst in us. I want that Sprite. I want that Coke. I want to have my thirst refreshed. And then going back and watching the same commercial over again. Believing that that commercial, watching that commercial is what's going to satisfy our thirst. That's what we so often do with religious activity. The religious activity itself is not supposed to satisfy our hunger and thirst. It's supposed to point us to Jesus. Just like the commercial is supposed to point us to the actual drink, it's supposed to make us go out and pursue the drink to satisfy our thirst. So religious activity is supposed to point us to Jesus so he can satisfy our hunger and thirst. This all brings us to our first point this morning. In regards to our sin, our lives largely consist of hungering and thirsting for happiness and activity that will never satisfy our deepest needs. Pursuing happiness in our accomplishments will never satisfy us. Because once we achieve something, we will always see someone who has achieved more, or we will desire more, or we'll make a mistake and we'll fail. Pursuing happiness in others will never satisfy. Even those who love us the most will sin against us and let us down. They'll hurt us. Pursuing happiness and religious activity will never satisfy us because those things were never meant to be an end in and of themselves. They were meant to point us to Christ, not to make us feel good about ourselves. So now, having seen the emptiness that comes from hungering and thirsting from these pursuits, having realized our sin and falsely believing these things will satisfy our deepest needs, we're now ready to pursue the hungering and thirsting for righteousness that Jesus is talking about in this passage. Jesus says that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, righteousness has several slightly different meanings depending on which author is using the term. And so let's look at the context of the Beatitudes to see what Jesus and Matthew mean here. If you look at the structure of the Beatitudes, we notice that the first three involve God revealing our emptiness to us. He shows us that we are spiritually bankrupt or we're poor in spirit. God reveals our lack of holiness, which causes us to mourn our sin. We see that a spiritual heart rids itself of pride in order to be meek, and the Spirit gives us a deep hunger and thirst for righteousness. So by this time, we should be saying, okay, blessed are those who just empty themselves of this sin, who are hungering and thirsty now to be filled. And now we're ready for the last half of verse 6. That this emptying is satisfied or filled by God with the righteousness we hunger. And then Beatitudes 7 through 10 talk about what that filling or what that righteousness looks like. That God fills us, that as God fills us with righteousness, we become people who are merciful, who are pure at heart, who are peacemakers, and are ultimately pursued because of living for Jesus. So at the very least, this righteousness that we should be hungering for, this righteousness that God works in us to create, should result in us being more merciful, pure at heart, and a peacemaker. But it also includes the former three things, the things that we empty ourselves of, or that God works in us to empty us of. And so putting these things together, we see that this definition, that hungering and thirsting for righteousness is a God-given, desperate desire to become more like Jesus. Once again, hungering and thirsting for righteousness is a God-given, desperate desire to become more like Jesus. And this isn't just a one-time thing. It's not just something we do here today on Sunday and we say, you know what? I had this desperate desire to be more like Jesus, and now the rest of my life, I don't have to have that hunger desire because God's just going to fill it over and over and over. It's a hungering and thirsting to be more like Jesus throughout our Christian lives. It's a God-given desperate desire to have our old sinful hearts clothed in Christ's righteousness at the moment that we trust in him for salvation. It's a God-given desperate desire to grow to be more like Jesus as we pursue him in our Christian lives. And it's a God-given desperate desire to one day be glorified, to be made perfect like Christ at the moment we stand before him in heaven. Paul shows us what it means to hunger and thirst for this righteousness in Philippians 3, verses 8 through 10. Notice Paul's language. Notice what this looks like, not to just have a hunger, not just to simply be hungry and I just need a sample of food to satisfy me. Notice what it looks like to have a hunger for righteousness. Paul says, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Paul says that God has given him this great hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be more like Christ, that he's willing to be rid of everything else. All the stuff, all the pursuits of happiness that I pursued, all the religious activity that I pursued are garbage compared to this pursuit of righteousness. Because all those other things have failed to satisfy me. They failed to save me. They've left me hungering and thirsting over and over and over again. But the one thing that he has found, the one thing that is gained, the one thing that satisfies his hungering and thirsting is to become like Jesus, to know Christ more. And so Paul says, I'm not pursuing happiness anymore. I'm not pursuing religious activity anymore. I'm pursuing righteousness. I'm aiming to know more of Christ and to become like him. Well, if you're anything like me, as I study this passage these past few weeks, you're looking at Paul's hungering and thirsting for Christ. And then you're looking at your own heart. And you're beginning to realize, man, my hungering and thirsting is pretty far from that. It doesn't look like much of that. That there are a lot of times that we hunger and thirst for happiness, and we hunger and thirst for religious activity. And you're realizing even more, man, God's making me aware of all the times that I pursue those things and I'm still left wanting more. As Jen and I returned from our vacation, you know what one of the first thoughts that came through our mind was? It'd be really nice to go on another vacation. That the hungering and thirsting for vacation didn't satisfy our hunger and thirst. We came back and we were wanting more. And because we believe that the vacation is what's going to satisfy our hunger and thirst. We hungered for that. What we really need is more of Jesus. What we really need is to let him satisfy us, to meet our deepest needs. So if you're someone who's realizing more and more the depth of your sin this morning, realizing that you've been hungering and thirsting for all the wrong things, that you've been left unsatisfied in those pursuits, then we're to the good part. We're reminded over and over as we gather here on Sunday that the gospel is good news for us. And as it relates to today, in the gospel we see that Jesus came to fully satisfy every hunger and every thirst by giving himself to us. Once again, Jesus came to fully satisfy every hunger and every thirst by giving himself to us. If you're here today and you're hungering and thirsting for forgiveness of the sins you've committed in the past, guess what? Jesus says, you are blessed. Because Jesus came to fully satisfy that need by dying on the cross for your sins. Are you hungering and thirsting to be loved and accepted? Well, the good news is, you are blessed because Jesus came to fully satisfy that need by providing a way for God to adopt you as his own child. You are loved and accepted by him as his child. Are you hungering and thirsting to grow in holiness? Once again, you are blessed. Jesus came to fully satisfy that need by setting the example and providing God's word and giving us his spirit to grow. Are you hungering and thirsting for more intimacy with God? Once again, you are blessed. Jesus came to fully satisfy that need by interceding for us, to make a way for us to have communion with God, to connect with God through prayer. Are you hungering and thirsting for a day when there will be no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering, but all joy and praise as we sing to God in heaven? once again. You are blessed. Jesus came to provide the way to salvation so we can have eternal life and one day be glorified with him. Jesus says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He affirms this again in John chapter 4. He says, Jesus said to the woman at the well, everyone who drinks of this physical water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And Paul later on in Philippians 4 writes, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Over and over, the writers of Scripture affirm that when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, when we hunger and thirst for more of Christ, when we hunger and thirst to become more like Jesus, we are blessed because God will satisfy every single one of those needs. Which then brings us to what we need to believe to be true in our hearts. To believe that we are blessed and that God will satisfy all our hungering and thirsting for him through Jesus Christ. Church, we often, as we talked about earlier, believe that other things will satisfy our deepest needs. Their relationships and success and money and possessions. And so we hunger and thirst for those. But they always leave us empty. They always leave us wanting more, even when we receive the thing we wanted. So what we need to do is we need to ask God this morning, would you change my heart? Would you help me to believe that those things don't satisfy me, but Jesus does? That hungering and thirsting for him is what's going to satisfy my hunger and my thirst. And when we believe that, that's when our lives start to pursue righteousness. It's the fruit of believing that Jesus is the one that satisfies us. Going back to the commercial, if you believe that the commercial, watching the commercial over and over and over is what's going to satisfy your thirst, then you will watch the commercial over and over and over, hoping it will. But it never will. And if we believe the things of this world, if we believe relationships and more money and more possessions and vacations will satisfy our hunger and thirst, then we will pursue relationships. We will pursue vacations. We will pursue more stuff. But it'll never satisfy. But if we go back to the commercial, if we believe that actually having a drink will satisfy our earthly thirst, we will go out. We will leave our couch behind. And we'll go buy the drink that we believe will satisfy. And if we believe that Jesus is the one who will truly satisfy our hunger and thirst, we will head out and we will pursue righteousness through reading God's word, through prayer, through Sunday morning worship, through time in groups. The belief will lead us to the changed behavior. But we have to start with believing that we are blessed and that God will satisfy all our hungering and thirsting for him through Jesus Christ. So for all of you here who haven't made a decision to follow Jesus, ask God to help you believe that he is the one, that Jesus is the one who will take all of your guilt, all of your shame, all of your sin away. That he has made a way for you, that he is the way, the truth, the life, that no one can come to the Father through him. Believe that Jesus has died for your sins. Trust in him. For all of you who have trusted in Jesus, ask God to help you believe that Jesus is the perfect satisfaction for every longing that you have. He's the perfect satisfaction for your desire to belong, to be loved, to give your life purpose, for intimacy with God, and for the conquering of sin. believing that God will leave no hunger unmet. He will leave no thirst for him unmet. And because that is gloriously true, that we are blessed when we hunger and thirst for righteousness. And as we believe that God will fully satisfy our hunger and thirst for him, this is some of the fruit that we should expect to see in our lives, in our church. And just a side note here, obviously our Bible club ministry has been going through the fruits of the Spirit, or we'll be going through the fruits of the Spirit. And the point of the fruits of the Spirit is that that's evidence of the Spirit working in us, that as the Spirit works in us more and more, we will be people who love and who we will see love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. It's not that we pursue those things, that we work to do those things. That's the fruit of the Spirit. As the Spirit works in us more and more, we become people who do those things. And as we believe in God's provision in Christ, as we believe that Jesus is the one that fully satisfies us, this is the fruit, this is the outworking, this is the evidence that that's taking place. That people are being saved in Christ, that people are believing, hey, all these things that I pursued to achieve worth, to achieve status, to make myself feel good in this life, never satisfied me. But now that I believe that Jesus is the one that satisfies, we'll see more non-believers trusting in Jesus of being saved. That we'll see in our church an increased desire to grow in Christ, a hungering and thirsting for more of this God that satisfies us. That we'll pursue that in groups, we'll pursue that in our personal devotions times, that instead of saying, hey, what I really need in this life is someone to care for me. What I really need is a vacation. What I really need is more money. What I really need is more stuff. That we'll see that being replaced with, you know what? What I really need is more of Jesus. What I really need is more of him to satisfy me. What I really need is for him to show me how good and how great he truly is. We'll see a decreased appetite for sin. Yet instead of longing for the things that will never fill us, we're instead longing for Jesus. They were believing that these sinful pleasures won't satisfy, but Jesus will. Next, we'll see healthier relationships with others. Because what so often happens in families, in churches, everywhere we go, is that we believe that people will satisfy us, that people will help us to feel accepted and loved. And so when people don't do that, when they sin against us, we often distance ourselves from people, or we gossip about people, or we get frustrated or upset because they've let us down, because they haven't filled that longing in us. You were supposed to help me feel accepted. You were supposed to help me feel loved. You were supposed to help me feel cared for, and you didn't. But when we believe that Jesus is the one that satisfies, Jesus is the one that accepts us, Jesus is the one who feels that longing, then as people sin against us, we'll be able to say, you know what? I never expected you to be perfect. My identity doesn't rest in you. I'm already loved. I'm already cared for by Christ. And so I can forgive you. And we can still be friends. We can still be neighbors. We can still be family. So you see that our relationships become more healthy as we realize that Jesus is the one that truly satisfies our need to belong, our need to be accepted, our need to be loved. And finally, we'll see an increased longing for future glorification. That moment when these decaying bodies, these sinful bodies, will no longer be, and will fully put on the new self, and will be like Christ for all of eternity. A hungering and thirsting for righteousness increases our longing for that day when we will be most like Jesus. Once again, this is the fruit of us believing God will satisfy our needs in Jesus. If we chase after the things of this world, it's going to leave us unsatisfied. If we chase after these behaviors without allowing God to change our hearts and our belief, then our heart will once again drift again to seeking satisfaction from the ways of the world. Which then brings us to a concluding quote from John Piper that I believe just so well encapsulates what we've been learning today from God's Word. He writes, "Could it be that one of the reasons the grass is greener everywhere you look is that your life is not devoted to the central pursuit of righteousness, but to the pursuit of other things?" If we leave here believing that the world will satisfy our needs, we're always going to be left chasing after the life we do not currently have. But if we leave here believing that God will satisfy our deepest needs in Christ, we will be satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for using your word this morning to show us how often we hunger and thirst for the things of this world. How often we hunger and thirst for the things that never satisfy. But Father, we also thank you for your word, that you show us, that you've provided. You provided for us. You provided a way that all of our hungering, all of our thirsting will be satisfied. And Father, that comes through hungering and thirsting for more of you. So Father, we pray that as we leave here, would you work in us to be people who hunger and thirst for more of you, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who hunger and thirst to be made like Jesus. Would you help us to recognize all the other things in this life that we are pursuing, that we are expecting to give us happiness? And as we bring those before you, would you forgive us and give us a new heart? Would your spirit be alive in us to hunger, to thirst for more of you, believing that when we do, we are blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.